Okay, so our scripture lesson today is Matthew 4, 1 through 17. It starts off, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, 'All of these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him.' Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. 'Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned.' From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, when Matthew tells us the story of Jesus, he goes out of his way to link that to those who have gone before. He is attempting, and he's going to be successful, in connecting Jesus to many great Jewish religious figures that have gone before. That is his goal. That is his aim. It is his pattern. Why? Because Matthew is trying to get the Jewish population to realize how important Jesus is, how significant he is. So Matthew is going to continually point to those who have gone before as a way of reminding the people of God who Jesus is and convincing some of the people of God of who Jesus is. If you look at this passage, we've got time in the wilderness. We've got 40 days. 40 is a big number, comes up often in the Old Testament as meaning a long period of time, but it's significant. It's 40 years in the wilderness for Moses and the people as they move from Egypt to Israel. It's 40 days of rain for Noah and the ark. It's all sorts of things and all sorts of places. You should hear some familiar stories here. And so one of the things that Matthew is going to do, if you pay careful attention as we explore Matthew this year, is he is going to constantly link Jesus back to Moses and back to John the Baptist. So Jesus starts his ministry right after John the Baptist is killed and arrested, And then he begins preaching that the people of God need to repent, which was John's message as well, if you remember last week's passage from the baptism of Jesus. If you carefully look at Matthew's gospel, you'll see that Jesus is set up to look like Moses. He comes out of Egypt into the promised land. He does 10 miracles paralleling the 10 commandments. All sorts of those pieces that if you look at it very carefully and very closely, because you'll probably miss it on a casual reading, you can see that Matthew is making Jesus the new Moses, which is what we hear when we get to Transfiguration Sunday. You guys may remember that when Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" "Oh, you are Moses, or you are the prophet." Matthew is not going to shy away from connecting Jesus with the big name figures of the past. And that makes me wonder why we're so hesitant to connect our stories to the big stories of the past. Somewhere back in history, we decided that it was arrogant, bold, overconfident, blasphemous, to connect our stories with the stories of the disciples who've gone before us in faith. It's odd because we name our kids after them. Most of us have some connection in our immediate family to a biblical name. And those names have meaning and power and history attached to them. This snowy day, I would ask you to pick up your Bible again and look at your life and consider where those biblical stories have manifested in your life. Not just that you remembered this passage, but that you lived this story. What is the power of Scripture to still be alive in your life? And do we claim that it is? Do we draw connections between stories of power, stories of questioning, stories of justice, stories of just plain old wonder, and the lives we live every day? Or is God acting in the world in that way something that's over? Are we done seeing that happen? I don't think we're done seeing that happen. I think we have chosen to ignore seeing it happen. What I'd like to invite you to do this week is to slow down, use your Bibles, and see all of the places in which what you and I have gone through and are going through and might yet go through are part of the story of creation and of God's people that we hear in Scripture. Look for your story, connect it to God's story, and do not be afraid to connect it to God's story. To God alone be the glory, this day and forevermore. Amen.